comments and views expressed on this program are the responsibility of those who make them. They do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted to be here, and I'm delighted you are here as well. Those of you joining us for the first time tonight, welcome aboard. A quick two announcements for you. Be sure you go over to kevinsmithshow.com and sign up for a couple of things that are free and really good, okay? Now, one of them is the K-Files E-Zine, our free weekly newsletter. You'll find that on the menu over on the left. Then scroll down the page, and down at the bottom of the page, you'll see a block that has little buttons from a bunch of our sponsors. And the very first one is UpSnap. Now, they're all good, but that UpSnap is a cool thing because it's free. It's absolutely free. Just click the button, and it'll take you over to their page. You sign up for a free account at UpSnap, and then you can listen to this show and others via your telephone, your cell phone, all right? And it's free. No reason not to do it. I guess you heard the news today that Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts had been taken to the hospital. The first reports said he fell. Now they are saying he suffered a seizure and is fully recovered. Now, I got to tell you, that sounds like a very similar thing to what happened with me. I could not continue to stand up. I had to go to the floor. And this was months ago, for those of you who are listening for the first time. This happened months ago. But you remember, I had several days there where, you know, we had to do replays, rebroadcasts of shows. But within 24 hours, I felt great. I was ready to rock and roll again. And so I don't know what the problem is, but certainly I wish for him the very, very best. I wish for him a full recovery and hope he's out of the hospital and able to return to work really soon. Regardless of whether you like the types of decisions he makes or not, he is on the Supreme Court. He is the Chief Justice. And these people are, I think, due our respect. And don't always agree with them, but they're due our respect. And I do sincerely wish the best for him. All right, now back to the K-Files thing. We're going this week to send out, when you get the K-Files, you're going to get two. You'll get the normal one in text format, as usual. And then you're going to get another one in HTML format. Over the years, we've done several surveys to see what people prefer. And it's kind of reached the point of 50-50 now. And so what we're going to do is send it out, let you take a look at it. If you want to sign up for it in HTML format, where it looks like a web page, then you'll be able to sign up for it that way, and you'll get it that way each and every week. All right, folks, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Tonight, open line night. We're going to be talking about a lot of different stuff and interesting stuff tonight. For one thing, our astronauts, DRUI, that means driving rockets under the influence. We'll be back.
Ten, nine,
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to alienseekernews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Welcome back. This is Open Line Night, and for those of you who wish to participate, and I hope you will, from all over the United States and Canada and around the world, we have toll-free numbers for you to call. That means it doesn't cost you anything, and you know, that's just you just can't get any less expensive than that. I mean, this fits your budget. I don't care what your budget is. This fits your budget. So what we have done is we have one number for the folks in Canada to use. That is 800-318-1008. And for the folks in the United States, the telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. So if you're calling from the States, 1-800-289-1092. If you're calling from Canada, 1-800-318-1008. I brought a bunch of stuff for us to talk about tonight, and we can talk about it, and I hope we will discuss it. But the good thing about Open Line Live is that you can change the topic just like changing the song that's playing on your CD player. You just punch the right button and the song changes. Well, if you just punch the right buttons, it'll transport you into our studio and you can change the topic we discuss. That's Open Line Live, all right? Before I get into the topics that I wanted to want us to think about tonight, I want to remind all of you, because I know there are a bunch of you who are thinking, you know, I would like to broadcast. I would like to have my own show. Now, look, not everybody is cut out for it. That's the truth. But you don't know till you try, and you're thinking, well, I'd like to broadcast, and some of you are already broadcasters, and you're thinking, you know, I really would like to switch from where I am. I'd like to move my show to some other streaming server somewhere, because where I am, they're not doing things right, or I've outgrown them. Well, the solution to that is SteelEye Media Network. SteelEye Media Network, I'll just give you a quick comparison, and then we'll move on. You see, most internet radio stations have a maximum connection, or they have maximum slots for about 50, maybe 100 people. Really, I'm not joking. That means that at any one time, only about 50 people can listen to the show. Well, when you go with SteelEye Media Network, we start off at 1,000 slots. And the bandwidth is virtually unlimited, so it really, we can handle what as big as you want to go. And, hey, this show has literally tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of people listening night after night. We handle that, don't we? So if you're a broadcaster or you want to be, get in touch with me at SteelEye Media Network, and we'll see what we can do to help you. Okay, is NASA cracking up? You know, there was a time when the reputation of NASA was like, sterling white, crystal clear, squeaky clean. We all knew that was fiction, but, you know, that's the way it was. On the other hand, I don't think anybody really expected for NASA's reputation in fact to drop as low as it has within these past 12 months. First, of course, a lot of people started really, really backing away from that squeaky clean reputation at NASA when back when the first shuttle exploded. Which one was that? Was that Columbia? I can't remember the name of the shuttle that exploded. Maybe you can help me with that when you call in. But, it was the one where Krista McAuliffe was going to be the first civilian, the first teacher in space. And she was a school teacher. And she was going to go up. Very, very tragic. And that squeaky clean reputation of NASA was tarnished right then, because evidence came out that they knew there was damage to the O-rings. They knew that they shouldn't be flying. They were warned by the engineers that they shouldn't be flying, and they decided they were going to fly anyway. Well, that damaged their reputation some. And then there was, you know, the other shuttle that exploded on its way back in. It had already made reentry and was streaking across the sky towards its landing when it disintegrated. Okay. That put another dent in NASA's squeaky clean reputation. And there are a lot of rumors about that. There are even, you know, people who say that there's evidence that a UFO shot that down or that somebody shot it down. I've never seen any of that evidence. I've heard people talk about it, but I've never actually seen any of it. Then back in February 2007, we had this most amazing, bizarre, really bizarre report about this astronaut love triangle. And one of the astronauts, Lisa Nowak, was arrested down in Florida, and apparently she had driven across the United States to get to Florida and was apparently, I mean, it's so bizarre, it's just kind of hard to follow the story, but apparently tried to kidnap another woman whom she believed was having an affair with an astronaut with whom Lisa Nowak either was having an affair or wanted to have an affair. It's just a bizarre, bizarre story. So that was February 2007. And then, and by the way, let me say that there is apparently, allegedly, some evidence for some psychological problems for Lisa Nowak. And I am not I'm not going to throw rocks through her windows. You know, if she needs the attention of doctors, if she needs the attention of psychiatrists or psychologists, certainly she should get the help she needs. And but apparently, I mean, from the news reports, there's some sort of perhaps psychological disorder there. But then we hear these reports that have hit the news and have rocked NASA back on its heels within the past few days. Reports of astronauts who are DRUI, driving rockets while under the influence. Some of the reports say that there have been astronauts who reported for flight so intoxicated that they were reported by other astronauts and the decision was made for them to fly anyway. Now, if that is true, that is, well, let me put it this way. Whether it is true or not true, that is a very, very serious allegation. Look, it's a serious thing if the pilot of a Cessna, you know, the small private aircraft, if the pilot of a Cessna goes out and gets in the Cessna intoxicated, taxis down the runway and takes to the air while intoxicated. That is a very dangerous, very serious situation. When a pilot goes out and gets in a rocket and is intoxicated, the words "very serious" fail to describe the situation. The words "extremely dangerous" fail to describe adequately the situation. I think you would agree with me on that. And apparently there are these allegations that some astronauts have reported for flight and have been very intoxicated, and instead of being taken off the flight, were approved to fly. and they flew. Now, if that is true, that, I mean, first of all, the astronauts themselves, the ones that reported intoxicated for their spaceflight, should be removed from the program, and if they're military, they should lose some rank. I mean, really, this is serious. Very, very serious. Of course, if they're civilian, they cannot lose rank, but they should be fired as astronauts. They should be removed from the astronaut program entirely, no matter who they are. But more serious than that, whoever on the ground at NASA approved them for flight should be fired immediately. Now, apparently, there have been some rumblings that at least one of the astronauts reporting intoxicated for flight was Russian, because the Russian space agency is very strongly, vehemently denying that any of their people could report for flight while intoxicated. Apparently, they are in isolation prior to taking their space flight, and the Russians are saying it's just impossible that they should, that they could even think that any Russian astronaut would be drunk prior to his flight. Well, if that's the case, if they are actually keeping tabs on the Russian astronauts, and if they are actually keeping them isolated and monitored by doctors and medics for hours and hours and hours prior to their spaceflight, if that's the case, then, you know, that pretty much leaves the Americans. And then, of course, you know, from time to time you have someone from another country that wants to fly. But I doubt that someone from another country would show up, report for duty, intoxicated. I doubt that very much, because, look, it works like this. You see, American astronauts go up all the time. It's a common, usual thing for Russians and for Americans. So American and Russian astronauts, they go up all the time. It's a big deal, but it's not quite as big a deal as if someone, say, from Uzbekistan is going to be an astronaut and take a flight to the space station. I'm not talking about one of these tourists. I'm talking about as a member of the crew. They actually have a job to do in space. That's a big, big, huge deal. And they're representing their country, and their country is so proud of them. There is no possible way those guys are going to head to the stars drunk. I would say if anybody went up intoxicated, it has to be Russian or American. The Russians, as I said, are very, very strongly denying that it's even possible for one of theirs to go up intoxicated. That has to be looked into, but if that bears out, I think that pretty much leaves the Americans, and I think that we need to know who, and they need to be fired. But even more serious than that, if this thing bears out, you know, if there are going to be congressional hearings on this. Now, if this thing comes to a head and they actually uncover the fact, not just an allegation, but as a fact, that an American astronaut or that any astronaut went up intoxicated, we need to know who. And that person needs to be fired. But we also need to know who was the flight surgeon. In other words, the doctor that approved them and said, okay, take your flight, have a good time, be safe. Who approved them for flight while they were intoxicated? Now, if that doctor gets up in front of Congress and he says, I had no idea. You know, he must have been drinking vodka or something that has no odor because I couldn't smell it. And his reactions were all normal. I had no idea the guy was intoxicated. If that's the case, then this guy probably doesn't need to be practicing medicine. And he for sure doesn't need to be getting a paycheck down at NASA. So this, this is a very, very serious thing. I'd like to know what you think about astronauts, DRUI, driving rockets under the influence of alcohol or other intoxicating substances. I'd like to know if you think the story is real. I'd like to know what you think should be done about that. We're going to take a break. The telephone lines are open. You can call in at any time. If you're in Canada, 800-318-1008. If you're in the United States, 800-289-1092. We pay for the call, and it just doesn't get less expensive than free. We'll be back. like that song, don't you? Good things happen every day. And I put that in there for a reason. All right. The telephone lines have lit up, and we'll take them in the order that they have come in. And first up from Canada, if you will, tell us your first name. Ah, well, he's gone. Okay. And we'll take the next one then. First name, and where are you calling from?
This is Michelle from Quebec.
Okay, Michelle.
I'm on your American line, Kevin.
I see that.
Yeah, because your Canadian line, we get the steel eye message, leave a message, and something else.
Yeah, well, that's because there were two calls coming in at the same time. One of them I answered. The other one got shunted off to the voicemail. That's the way technology works.
Yeah, well, that must have been me there before.
All right.
Anyway, I don't mind paying for a call.
Not a problem. What do you think?
Well, I tell you, it's a team. And you know better than most of us, because you work in the situation where you used to work, excuse me, in the situation where you had to depend on your partner.
Yeah.
And if there's drinking going on at NASA, somebody should be, I can't say reprimanded, there should be some criminal offense done there, because you know you get lots of people's life in hand.
If you drive an automobile in any country, if you drive an automobile while you're intoxicated, that is a criminal offense. I think driving a rocket while you're intoxicated ought to be criminal, too. I agree with you.
Because, you know, one switch wrong and bang. And with the accidents that already happened, now you're going to have more questions. You know, people are going to start asking questions that, you know, because you start thinking. Was this really an accident? What happened? Did a guy do a mistake?
Yeah, was someone a little bit tipsy, and is that what caused these explosions?
Yeah, it's you know, it's a very, and even the sabotage I heard out of NASA shocked me, because you know, this is the best of the best.
They really, you know, as far as I know, they really are the best of the best, but a lot of folks in other space agencies are catching up.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I mean, thanks to your show, we know that. And I want to thank you, because since you've been back, I'm glad you're healthy and everything. You can hear it in your voice, and there's been some awesome shows on lately.
Awesome. There's going to be an awesome show on tomorrow night, I can tell you. We've got, it's a first for me, we have a really highbrow mathematician who's going to come on, and I'm not sure that I understand this, and I may be misspeaking, but I think that his theories show that time is not a dimension.
That's a little bit above me.
Yeah, and so yeah, that ought to be a home run right there.
Sometimes it's kind of hard to come up with a question or two. I wish more people would stop getting on my back for calling in and give me a break.
Anybody can call in. The telephone numbers are given out, and anybody can pick up their telephone and call. It is true. Anywhere from, on a low night, 50 calls, average night, 80 to 120 calls. And we can't answer every one of those. We would like to, but we only have 2 hours.
Well, yeah, I understand, Kevin. And yeah. I'm never going to complain about your show. It's so important to everybody. And I wish they'd just realize that how much information they can get there to help themselves. Because you have some great guests.
Well, I appreciate it. We try.
Well, you do.
All right, Michelle, thanks for the call.
I got one question for you.
Yep.
Yeah. We know all the planets in our solar system turn one way except for one, Venus. It turns backwards to the rest.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, the only theory I have heard that makes any sense is that Nibiru passed between Venus and Uranus, tipped Uranus over, and spun Venus backwards.
Okay. You see that on, if you get a chance, check out UFO Digest. They got some pictures talking about Nibiru. like they seen something. They don't. They're, you know, they're saying Nibiru, but it could be anything. But there's something big coming into our solar system.
I will check that out.
Okay, Kevin. Thanks.
You bet.
Let's call in.
Thank you. All right. What do you think, folks? What do you think about astronauts who drive rockets under the influence of alcohol? Now, I'm going to highlight this by saying, I want to emphasize, these are, as far as I know, allegations. That means they are not proven. That means that investigation has to be done. So, but what do you think about it? All right, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show, caller. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Yeah.
Interesting question. By the way, I want to say hi to Michelle. It's always good to hear. Do I think it should be considered a crime if astronauts are handling rockets drunk? Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I mean, if you get behind the wheel of a vehicle and you drive drunk and you're cited for it, why not if you're an astronaut and you're, you know, rockets are a lot more dangerous. I mean, cars are dangerous. Vehicles are dangerous. But a rocket, I would think, would be 10 times more dangerous.
Sure.
100 times. And, you know, you've got so much, I mean, much more power than just a car.
Oh, you are sitting on top of an explosion.
Yes.
A rocket is a barely controlled explosion.
Yes. And so I agree with you 100%. I agree with Michelle. I think if astronauts are going to be handling that kind of equipment, well, they better be as sober as a judge, in my book. Because
well, now, I have known some judges that were not too...
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That's just a saying.
I knew one in particular. Wow.
Well, most of the judges I've ever had to deal with on jury duty and stuff, and in person, have been sober. That's just, you know what I'm saying. It's just a thing. But yeah, because they are in a job and in a position where they have to be as focused and as sharp as possible to be able to do the job that they have to do. And if you're drinking, you can't do it. Same thing with the same thing with pilots running commercial aircraft. You know, if you got problems, don't get in that cockpit, don't get behind that wheel.
One thing, Debbie, that a lot of people don't realize is how little alcohol it takes to affect your ability to perform technical functions.
Mm-hmm.
One beer is enough to slow your reaction time significantly. It's enough to slow your reaction time enough for you to be involved in fatal car crashes with one beer.
I mean, I don't know how Arizona's laws are regarding drunk drivers, but here in Ohio, they've stiffened the penalty. They have stiffened it. Your first time caught drunk driving, you can get... they can do a number of things depending on how many points your license has. You can lose your license for 30 days. You can pay a $1,000 fine and or get 30 days in jail. I mean, they're really cracking down here on it because a lot of the fatalities that are here in Ohio, last year about 83% of the fatalities in Ohio were due to drunk driving accidents. And it wasn't usually the drunk drivers that were killed. It was the other innocent bystanders either in the drunk driver's car or the people that they hit, the drivers in the opposite lane, that they hit either head-on or on the driver's side.
Yeah, and when you take that and translate it into rockets, put a rocket underneath this person, you know, I will say it is probably the single most serious allegation that I've heard ever to come out of NASA. I don't know of anything else that's ever come out of NASA that is as serious as this. Now, here's what's serious. It is serious that an astronaut might show up intoxicated.
Yes, yes.
Even more serious is whoever approved him or her to fly.
Definitely, definitely. That's usually superior, though, isn't it?
Well, like, you would have a, and if this were Air Force, you would have what's called a flight surgeon.
Right, right.
I don't know what they call this person at NASA, but we'll say flight surgeon, the flight surgeon, the chief medical officer, someone who is the medical officer for that flight had to approve them for flight. Now, there is a little test that everyone is familiar with. It is called a horizontal gaze nystagmus test. You might not know that.
Or the sobriety test, right?
Yeah, you might not know by that name, but that's when the cop holds up a pen and says, follow this with your eyes. Mm-hmm. It's so simple, and it's 100% accurate. If there's alcohol in the blood, your eyes will be jerky as they follow that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And now your eyes might be jerky for other reasons, but if there is alcohol, they will be, and you cannot stop it. You can't prevent it. You may think everything's fine, but your eye is jumping.
Right, right. And the officer knows what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of curious. When has NASA really started pursuing this? Has it been recently, or? Has this been going on for a while and they just haven't said anything about it?
Well, apparently it's been going on for a while. The allegations just went public last week. And, ma'am, it hit the fan.
Have they cited, I'm sure they're not going to say exactly, whom, due to confidentiality, but...
they're going to say who, when, where, and that person's going to have to answer why, because there are going to be congressional hearings on this. So these people are going to be called before the Congress and placed under oath, and they're going to have to answer to the nation.
Okay, another question. Are they targeting just astronauts themselves, or are they targeting just astronauts and everybody involved with the space program at NASA?
I think they're. You're talking about, when you say, are they targeting, you're talking about the investigation?
Congress. Yeah, the investigators. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They will target the astronauts. They will target anyone who had anything to do with allowing those astronauts to fly, and that will be the entire chain of command right up to the top.
Sounds like there might be a big shakeup going up at NASA.
Might be a whole lot of shaking going on.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Deb, thanks for the call.
All right. Thanks, Kev.
All right. Yeah, it's a serious thing, folks. It really, really is. And it's disturbing. Really disturbing. Because as much criticism as NASA takes from me, and as much as they take from guests on shows like my show, we don't want NASA to fail. We want NASA to succeed. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Kevin, this is Charles in Albuquerque.
Yes, Charles in Albuquerque. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, and I hope you're well.
Doing quite well.
I enjoy hearing from Michelle, and I enjoy hearing from Debbie, too.
Good.
I think it's nice, sort of like the Kevin, Michelle, and Debbie show.
That's not fair. We have a lot of other callers from around the country. I'll tell you what, we're into a break. Do you want to hold, and I'll get you first up right after the break?
Thank you.
All right. All right, folks, we will be back right after this break. What do you think about astronauts driving rockets under the influence? You think that's a real deal or just allegations? We'll be back. Talking about the troubles down at NASA, talking about the allegations of astronauts driving rockets under the influence, and we're online with our caller from Albuquerque.
Are you still with me?
I am.
All right. What do you think about all this?
Well, I think it's quite amazing, but I have to ask, I wonder how much rocket driving they actually have to do. It seems to me that they put them in there and they shoot them off and get them up in orbit, and it's really some time before they really have to do much.
Well, it depends. The commander of the flight and the pilot do have a few switches they have to flip at various times that are still not automated as safety precautions. And so if it was either a pilot or a commander, that is pretty serious.
I'd imagine they'd have to be pretty drunk not to be able to do it. And I can just see the flight surgeon, some guy showing up with alcohol in his blood. Oh, my gosh, are we going to stop him now and create some national incident? Or are we just going to let him go up there, shoot him off, and hope everything goes well?
I would not want to be the flight surgeon because, first of all, they tell him that's his job to do that. But if he does it, if he calls a flight, stops a flight, That cost millions of dollars. And, you know, he's subject to not being very popular.
If he's wrong, it could cost him his job.
That's true. So you don't think this is that big a deal?
Well, I think we really have to reserve judgment before jumping to conclusions. I think that it's probably they probably don't have as much to do as you, to drive their rocket into orbit as you do to drive your car to the grocery store.
I think that is true.
And so, you know, I think we better reserve judgment until we hear the whole facts. But
well, at this point, as I pointed out, at this point, it is in the status of allegation.
Yeah. I think it would be a tough call if an astronaut showed up with some alcohol in his blood. You'd say, well, how much is too much? And is any too much? Well, there's some amount we would accept that people can drive safely with.
You know, it's interesting. You're a judge, aren't you?
Yes.
All right. I thought I remembered you sharing with that with us previously. It's very interesting the way things work now. If a police officer observes someone driving in a way that shows, that demonstrates that the driver is impaired, so he stops the car. We'll say the car is driving left of the center line, or he's weaving a lot. Anyway, he stops the car. He does the field sobriety tests, the three standard tests that are conducted around all around the United States. Does those three tests. The guy fails all three. So he arrests him for driving. In some states, it's driving while intoxicated. In other states, it's driving under the influence. Then he takes him down to the police station or to the sheriff's office, and he conducts a breathalyzer test. And let's say that the statutory limit is 0.10, and this guy is at 0.08. Now, before he takes that test, he has read a form, and the form says you are under arrest by a law enforcement officer who has reason to believe that you are operating a motor vehicle while under the influence of alcohol or other intoxicating substance. Okay, so he's already under arrest. What's interesting is if the result of that breathalyzer test comes back lower than the statutory limit, in most states, in most jurisdictions, the prosecutor will not prosecute it, even though you have demonstrable impairment. And I think the same thing would happen with astronauts. It's that question of how much is too much, and of course that varies from person to person. I've seen people at 0.06 who were so impaired they could not stand up because they were not drinkers.
Yeah.
And I've seen people at 0.20 that were steady as an anvil.
Yeah.
So I think your observation is, I think it's a good observation, and I think there are a lot of factors that they have to look at. However, on the administrative side of it, I think there needs to be a zero tolerance for alcohol in the bloodstream of the people we're going to put on a multi-billion-dollar rocket.
If I was a passenger on that rocket ship and paying $50 million to be there, I think I would certainly want a sober pilot.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I really do think that while it may not be as awesome a crime as some people may think, I think it should be a crime.
Well, and of course, the whole thing sounds bad. Just having an astronaut having alcohol in their bloodstream when they go up, whether it's a small amount or not, it doesn't do NASA any good.
That's true. Yeah, it's a black eye. It certainly is. Well, listen, I appreciate the call, and don't wait so long before you call again. We'd like to hear from you.
I appreciate the show, but I can't always listen.
I understand. Thanks for the call.
Good night.
All right, folks, if you wish to call in, the telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. That's the telephone number for the United States. If you're in Canada, the toll-free number is 1-800-318-1008. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hello, Kevin?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Tony from Oklahoma.
Yes, Tony.
Talking about this subject, back many years ago, I worked for a grocery store, and it was probably about 10 o'clock at night, and there was this man walking around the store buying stuff, putting it in their shopping cart, and every employee in the store was watching this guy because he could barely stand up. I mean, he couldn't even push that shopping cart straight.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was absolutely polluted. I mean, I've never seen anybody that drunk in public. And I watched him walk out to the car. He got in his car, started it up, and he pulled out of the parking lot and drove away, and you could not tell there was anything wrong with him.
So he was a good driver, he just couldn't walk.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But he was absolutely drunk. But you could not tell that by the way he was driving. There's no way he would ever have gotten pulled over.
Well, I'll tell you something. I've run into people like that back in the days when I was a deputy sheriff over in Louisiana. And, you know, I would stop them because they had a tail light out, or I would stop them. And in those cases, you don't write them a ticket. You just give them a little warning ticket and then tell them, you know, want to let you know you need to get this fixed. And then, you walk up to the window and they roll the window down, and it comes wafting out of there with such strength it knocks you over. And then at that point I say, sir, how much have you had to drink tonight? a couple six packs, you know.
Oh,
and
my
so,
God.
Okay, sir, well, I need you to step out. And when they step out of the car, they can't stand up, they can't walk, but they were driving just fine. I did not stop them for a driving violation. I stopped them because there was a tail light out.
Uh-huh.
You know. So, yeah, I've seen that.
How could that be?
I don't know.
How could it be that you cannot stand up, you cannot walk straight, but you could drive a car perfectly? How could that be?
I don't know, but there are some people who have practiced this for many years.
I just don't understand that.
And Kevin, I bet if you are an astronaut and you can drive your car like that, you think you can fly a rocket like that.
But I think there's quite a difference there. I mean, what the previous caller said about what does the astronaut have to do, because it's basically all controlled from the ground on the way up. But suppose something goes wrong and the pilot has to take over. I mean, the commander has to take over.
Yeah, if there is a malfunction on the way up,
exactly.
Then they have to take over and fly manually. And contrary to popular belief, there are some escape procedures. Maybe they are not very adequate, but there are some escape procedures in the early parts of the flight. But it takes split-second timing and very, very quick rational thinking on the part of whoever is in control of the spaceship. We're into a break. I appreciate that phone call, and we will be back on the other side of this break into the next hour with more about whatever is on your mind. What's on my mind? Astronauts driving rockets under the influence. We'll be back.
they're not too far. They'll be reaching for a star with a magical machine. When the future is the past, they'll be closing in so fast with a magical machine. And everything is clean and nice. No one. Taken by the magical machines, they'll be put away by artificial means. They'll be old enough to fight. They'll be old enough to die. When the future's getting old, we'll forget what we were told about the magical machines. While that heart will go to war, we'll be beating it for more like a magical machine. And everything is just like them. And
Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we will continue with our topic that we have had. If you didn't get a chance to call in, we want you to have the chance to call in and express your views on this. We're talking about astronauts and the allegation that has hit the news like manure hitting the ventilator, so to speak. Allegations of astronauts flying intoxicated. And I don't mean flying in aircraft, I mean flying in spacecraft. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hello, Kevin. Sheldon in Tucson.
Yes, Sheldon.
Yeah, hey, I was listening to Coast with George Norrie from Friday, July 20th, and he took a bunch of callers talking about whether the moon flights really happened, and as you recall, I was over and we were talking about it also. A caller brought up an interesting point. If they really landed on the moon, how come no telescope has ever looked at the landers? I mean, the scientific community must be interested to see the deterioration on those landers and that.
Well, I don't know that they have never been viewed through telescopes. I can't recall that I've heard anybody say they did see them through telescopes. But just because we didn't hear that someone saw it doesn't mean that someone did not see it.
George Norrie said straight out that they've never aimed a telescope at that part of the moon to look at the landers.
And?
Well, that's what George Norrie said, that they've never...
Well, George Norrie is a talk show host like I am. George Norrie and Kevin Smith do not know all the facts that exist on this planet. And, it's only fair to say, it's only accurate to say that I have not heard of anybody seeing it through a telescope. But to say that no one ever did means that we know what every astronomer is doing every minute of every night.
But, well, NASA should still publicly have that available because there's so many people out there that doubt that it happened.
I don't think NASA cares what we doubt. Honestly, NASA doesn't generally care too much at all what the public thinks.
Yeah, I think you got a point there.
Yeah. Most government agencies only pay lip service to really caring and being responsive to the public. They're not. They're responsive to the Congress. They're responsive to the president. They're responsive to the Senate and to the courts. But as far as being responsive to the public, I'm not aware of any government agency that really is.
Okay, well, what about the flag flapping in the wind? What about that?
I have no idea. Other than this, I think you continue to make the mistake of connecting what you saw on television with whether we went or not. And I continue to say that it is entirely possible that what we saw on television was video shot in studios to keep us from seeing what really is up there. But that has nothing to do with whether we went.
Think it over. Thanks for letting me on board, Kevin.
Sure. Think about this. If there's something up there that, let's say that NASA suspects that there's something there that we're going to find and we don't know what it really all means yet, and we don't really want to spook the public because we're not sure what all that means, we are going to take a look at it. There's no way we can hide the fact that we're going to do that. So let's do this. Let's send a crew up there to take a look, but let's show the public video that we have pre-recorded. Could that... I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just asking, isn't that possible?
Oh, yeah.
So then, just because we make and prove that video is hoaxed, that doesn't prove that the moon landings were hoaxed.
Well, think it over, Kevin. I just wanted to provide my 2 cents worth on that.
All right. I appreciate the call, Sheldon. Hey, yep. What about the floods in Tucson?
Well, it was pretty bad here 2 days ago, but it's been all right now.
All right. I appreciate the call. And let's go to our Canadian line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
I'll call you back.
Okay. Whatever. 1-800-289-1092 is the USA line, and the Canadian line, 1-800-318-1008. Again, in the USA, 1-800-289-1092. In Canada, 1-800-318-1008. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Well, Brent, I didn't know if you were going to hang up on me like the other one or not, but I'm glad you hung in there, buddy.
No problem.
What do you think about all this?
I missed the subject change, but I will say this. On the first topic you had...
Which was driving rockets under the influence?
Yeah.
Yeah?
They have known for some time that weightlessness does have an adverse effect on brains. At least that's what I've heard. And that the astronaut who went berserk about an affair between two astronauts points in that direction. Now, as you know, I'm a brain injury survivor of several years.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I don't drink or do drugs or anything stupid like that is because I don't know what it would do. I don't want to take the risk. I can't, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, if they are drinking and going into space drunk, it's a very serious lack of judgment.
I think it is. On the other hand, it's a high that's out of this world.
Yes.
Thanks for the call, Brent.
Yeah, bye.
All right. 1-800-289-1092. If you're calling from inside the USA, if you're calling from Canada, the telephone number is 1-800-318-1008. Now, if you're outside of North America, all right, you're not in the USA, you're not in Canada, you're outside of North America, either one of those numbers will work, it just won't be toll-free for you. So if you want to participate toll-free, what you can do is send me a flash message. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. It's just an email, and you email it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. Now, if your message is from inside the United States, we have filters on that account, and it misses sometimes, but it's going to send you a notice that that's reserved for people outside the United States, and it will automatically delete your message. I'll never see it. So use the toll-free numbers if you're inside of North America. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
John from Nevada.
Okay, John, we have an excessively bad connection. There's no way that we can hear you. If you want to try from another phone or simply try again from that phone, we'll take your call. But there's no way we can understand that. It's really, really scratchy. All right. We started out talking about this thing with the allegations of NASA, or coming out of NASA, about astronauts flying while intoxicated. And I have said that I think that should be a crime. Michelle said he thinks it should be a crime. What do you think about it? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Louis from Connecticut.
Man, I wish we could understand you. That's a little bit better, but I can't understand you. Try again. What is your name?
This is Louis from Connecticut.
Louis from Connecticut?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to try. Go ahead, Louis.
Aren't the astronauts military?
Some of the astronauts are military and some are civilian.
Okay, now the one that's military, they would be under military code of justice.
That's correct, and it would be a violation of their military code, yes.
So they would have to do an investigation.
Yeah, and I don't know if the flight surgeon or the chief medical officer or whatever they call that person, I don't know if that person is military or not, but whether we're dealing with a military or civilian, I don't think the civilians should get to skip out on this just because they're civilian.
Yeah.
And I think it should be the same for them if they get caught showing up for flight drunk. I think it should be as severe for them as it is for the military guys.
Yeah, I think the woman that supposedly the astronaut that had it was supposedly had a diaper on.
Yeah.
I think she had a lot to do with it. I think she was going to bring this up to the news media, and they just put a push for what she did.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, look, thanks for the call. I appreciate it very, very much. And we have another caller, if you will. Tell us your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Michelle from Canada.
Yes.
Back. Yeah, I just had to try this Canadian number.
I got to tell you, we can hear you on this number far better than we normally do.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Kevin, I was thinking you must have heard a couple of weeks ago about the two flying saucers that the pilot seen in England. They're over a mile long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine if they were drinking and driving? You could wave for a whole city.
That would be tough, wouldn't it?
But ain't that awful? How many stories are coming out of England right off?
Yeah, you know. You know, when you have a pilot that says he saw something that was over a mile long, you know, it probably was over a mile long.
That's scary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking like we, you know, we joke about it sometimes, but that's Independence Day.
Yes, it is.
And I mean, you know, I'm still, I don't know, I've never think it's going to be cookies and cake if they come. Because, you know, power, total power corrupts. And we're such a dumb race. I mean, can you imagine? Give us a little power and what we'll do for you.
Yeah, that's true. You know, there's not a huge difference in the intelligence between humans and dolphins. Now, there are people who say, oh, yeah, there's a huge difference. No, there's not. There's not a huge difference. You can teach a dolphin to do almost anything. Now, the point is, the point that I make is that we humans have a tendency to think that we're so smart, and yet the truth is we're about as dumb as dolphins.
Well, I think dolphins are pretty smart myself.
Yeah, but we're not much smarter. That's the point.
That's it. Well, look at with all the stories in the last year and a half we've heard about chimpanzees. How they're getting smarter, using tools, staying in caves when it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to watch out, or we won't be the number one race on the planet.
That's true, and we may have already gotten there. Michelle,
anyway,
thank you for the call.
Okay, Kevin.
All right. 1-800-289-1092 is the toll-free number in the United States. In Canada, the toll-free number, 1-800-318-1008. I want to go to, now we'll still talk about that subject if you wish to talk about it. Astronauts driving rockets under the influence. We will still talk about it. And I want to say again that nothing that is said on this show is intended to be a slam against NASA. I think anyone who's interested, as I am, in space exploration, I think that's one of the most fascinating areas of science that there is. And anybody that's interested in that wants NASA to succeed. But this, these allegations about astronauts showing up to fly and being drunk are very serious allegations. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. It's not a little thing either. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
John from Nevada. Can you hear me this time?
I can hear you perfectly, John.
Terrific. Well, can I change the subject just a little?
Absolutely.
I saw this video. I'm sure you've seen it. It's called The Smoking Gun.
Yes, there's a couple of them out there. The one I have seen has to do with UFOs.
The one that's by Martin Stubbs?
I'm not sure who did it, but it's about UFOs. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's about the video that was captured from the NASA transmissions.
Mm-hmm.
The cable operator up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear too many people talking about that one, and yet I don't see many people trying to debunk that one.
Well, it's very difficult to debunk it. It comes from NASA, and it
exactly.
Certainly was something NASA did not intend for everybody to see.
Right. And it's an amazing video.
It is. As a matter of fact, I have a link to that on my website. If you go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll all the way down, you see at the very bottom of the page, there's a section called Information Base, and there are links to some videos. That's one of them.
Okay.
And for those who haven't seen it, it is video of the Mir space station, and it shows UFO, several of them, flying around the Mir space station. And I assume that's the same one you're talking about, correct?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure with the tether in space. And
that's part of the video as well, yeah.
And they're inspecting it looks like?
That's what it looks like.
And they look kind of translucent?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. What do you think those are? Do you think those are vehicles, or do you think those are living entities?
Well, you know, it's the jury's still out on that one. I mean, when I saw it for the first time, it almost looked like something on a cellular level. But the more I look at it, I think it probably is a spaceship, or many spaceships.
That video was shot from the shuttle, and they were 89 miles away from that tether.
Yeah, and didn't they estimate the size of some of these things, like 6 miles wide?
Yeah.
That just blows me away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty amazing video, and I recommend anybody that hasn't seen it, go see it. Go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. There's a link that is called The Secret NASA Transmissions. That's it. And it's an eye-opener at the very, very least. John, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Yeah, that's amazing video. All of those videos that are listed there are fairly amazing videos. That's why they are there. I want to bring up some other rather amazing stuff that's happening, and that has to do with our climate. Now, every time I get into this, people misunderstand. All I can do is say what I say. I'm not saying what you think I say. I'm not saying what you wish I say. I'm saying what I say. Okay? We're going to take a call, and when we come back from that call, we're headed into a break. When we come back from that break, I'm going to talk with you a little bit about some stuff happening in the climate that is rather awesome. Caller, your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Kevin, it's Debbie from Columbus again. Brent wanted me to call in and ask you about the guy from France who had an extremely small brain but still had an IQ of 75.
Why didn't Brent call in?
I don't know. Maybe he forgot to ask you that when he was online. I mean, when he was
I have no idea. I haven't even heard of this.
This is just something, I mean, we're IMing each other as, you know, we're listening to you, and he was just saying, he said, can you call in and ask Kevin about the guy from France who had an extremely small brain but still had an IQ of 75? Maybe Michelle might
know
something.
I am him and tell him that the telephone number works in Wyoming just like it works where you are.
Okay, I'll do it.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
The climate is something that impacts all of us. I don't care who you are, you're not going to get away from the climate. You can move to various parts of the country and get away from pollution. You know, you can move from a big city out into the countryside and get away from all of that pollution. You can do that. But the climate is the climate, and climate change is on, folks. Global warming is on. there are a very, very few people who still do not believe that global warming is a fact. It is a measurable reality. What people don't understand when I talk about this is if I, it's like, and this is so frustrating for me. If I say UFO, about 90% of the world's population that hears UFO automatically jumps to, oh, you believe in flying saucers and little green men. And I can't think of anything that's quite as stupid as that. It's so stupid that people who do that should be ashamed to even get in public. But about 90% of this world's population are that stupid, and it goes right up the line. Captains and kings and chairmen of the board are that stupid. When I say global warming, there are people who automatically jump to, oh, you believe that humans are causing global warming and we've got to do something to stop this and you're on our side. No, no, no. If you're that stupid, what are you doing in public? You should be locked away somewhere. I'll say what I say when we come back.
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
time on my account. Don't go walking around the same old bum. Don't you try to make me sad again. Cause I won't wait another second anymore. Wasting time on my account.
Of the telephone lines open at the present time, so if you wish to call in, you may, toll-free, 1-800-289-1092 for the USA. For Canada, 1-800-318-1008. And the Flash message is open if you're outside of North America. We received one from Sweden, and I will be sharing that with you in just a moment. I want to talk a little bit about this climate thing. Just because you hear me say that global warming is a reality does not mean that I buy your whole Bible on global warming, which says that Mother Nature is good, man is bad. And we humans have created global warming. There is no evidence of that. There is evidence that we are exacerbating the problem. The evidence, the actual scientific data, shows that global warming is a cycle. It comes every few thousand years, and then there is an ice age. And then we start warming again. So we go through global warming, then global freezing, then global warming, then global freezing. Since the last ice age, we've been warming. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
All right, this is Brent again.
Well, Brent, the telephone does work where you are.
Well, I just didn't want to get in trouble for calling twice in 1 hour.
All right, go ahead.
Now, there was a guy in France. I think it was reported last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago. He was 44 years old. When he was 14, when he was a child, they put a stent in his siphon in his skull to take out some of the excess fluid. They took it out when he was 14, and since then, the fluid has been building up inside his skull. His brain did not develop normally. It was, I don't know, like half the size of a normal brain.
All right.
But he still had an IQ of 75. And what that said is that all these scientists who say that the brain has to be a certain size to experience human consciousness don't know what they're talking about.
Well, yeah, I think most scientists who talk about human consciousness and they talk about it in relationship to biology, I think they're all wet.
Yeah.
Human, if there is such a thing as a human mind, it exists apart from the brain. It's not a product of the brain.
That's right. So I just wanted to point that out because it's it just kind of says, who are we fooling? Who are we kidding? That consciousness is dependent upon the brain.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, I think consciousness goes way beyond the brain. And a lot of people who have a limited, for instance, this gentleman with a limited size of his brain, there's only so much that his consciousness can make that brain do because that brain is, if you will, a bit crippled.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean his consciousness is crippled.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, thanks for the call.
Yep, bye.
So climate, weird stuff happening. I think we're exacerbating the problem. We're adding to it unnecessarily, but we're doing it. Unwisely, but we're doing it. But even if all humans were off this planet, global warming would still be happening. It is a cycle, and this it's not my opinion that it's a cycle. That is based on scientific data gathered from ice cores from Greenland. All right? Greenland, of all places. And I think it's a mistake for us to say that we're causing global warming, because that implies then that there's something we could do to stop it. And I think people are going to be quite disappointed if they do everything there is to do and they still don't stop it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Josh from Center, Pennsylvania.
Yes, Josh.
All right. I can't help but notice every time a conversation about aliens comes up and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and them visiting the stuff, we get very sort of downtrodden on ourselves, and we're just this horrible, horrible thing, but like we're just the bane, which you kind of said we, at least with global warming, but we're sort of this bane, and sometimes I get the feeling almost people are like sort of wishing it would happen. But you brought up something interesting about dolphins. They have their own language. They're extremely intelligent. But the thing we seem to forget, most people, when they think of dolphins, they think of Flipper. They think of this adorable, you know, thing float swimming around.
Mm-hmm.
What most people don't know about dolphins, they make war parties. They wage war against each other. They kill. They literally I'm trying to think of a word to use that'd be appropriate. They rape other dolphins. They do the same horrible things to each other that humans do.
Sharks are afraid of them.
They swim around sharks and dive bomb them to death. But it's interesting because we do those things and we're kind of downtrodden ourselves about it. But so do dolphins. Truth of the matter is, you even said this, the planet itself, even though it is a beautiful place, it's a wonderful place, it's really not an easy place to live in. I mean, most of it's desert and a lot of it's snow, and it's just unbearable. And we seem to forget that we really are a product of this planet. Everything we seem to do is a mimic of what other life forms on this planet do. I mean, for instance...
Well,
you know,
we are a part of the animal kingdom. And just because we know how to read and write and cipher doesn't mean that we have given up and moved away from animal instinct. We have those animal instincts in us. There's nothing we can do about them being there. They are there. And some people are able to control those instincts. Other people are not able to control them. But one thing you can't do, you can't get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's exactly. That's just the point. I mean, we seem to single ourselves out. We do seem to put ourselves on this big pedestal. But in reality, we're just a tad bit, like you said, complex. But that's about it. Other than that, every other creature on this planet really does it. It's just life, really.
Well, what we're up to is survival.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And all of the other wonderful things we say about ourselves fall by the wayside when survival gets challenged. When survival gets challenged, you'll forget being sophisticated.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. I'm a little iffy about the whole alien invasion thing, too, because, yeah, that's what we're good at. We're good at survival. Honestly, I'd even go to the point of, if aliens, at least intelligent the way we think they are, I really don't think mutual destruction would really be an option for them.
Well, I don't know that aliens... I hear people talk about how these aliens are thousands of years ahead of us, super intelligent. We're not really too much more intelligent than... the people who were living in, say, 1500. We do have better technology.
more complex technology, which is a natural function of time and continued human investigation. And 100 years from now, the technology will be far ahead of where it is now. But that just because the technology is far ahead doesn't mean that the people will be.
Oh, indeed. Yes. What's the saying? Not much ever really changes. Is that the saying?
Yeah, the toys we play with change, but we don't.
Yeah. Can I ask you about a guest that you can maybe interview sometime?
Sure, go ahead.
His name is, speaking of aliens, he's a super string theorist. His name is Dr. Michio Kaku.
Got him on my list, and I've sent him an invitation.
Oh, I hope he definitely gets that. That would be very interesting.
Yeah, he's quite an interesting guy. He hosts his own radio show that's on 90 stations around the country.
Yes, Exploration. I listen to it.
Yeah, he is a fascinating individual.
Yes, like he said, aliens could be here right now and we don't even know it.
Oh, I think they are. I think you're one. I think I'm one. I think we all are hybrid.
Well, could be. Definitely could be.
That's right. Why I don't think the aliens are too much more intelligent than us. I think they are us. All right. Thanks for the call, Josh. Hey,
thank you.
Have you been tracking what's going on around the world? The Earth itself, ladies and gentlemen, Josh brought this up about, and we talked about, survival and that we're like the animal kingdom. Let me tell you something. The Earth is literally heaving. The Earth is heaving. There's something going on. I just looked to see what's going on within the last week. And here's what I found. Rains have killed 652 people in China. You know, water falling from the sky, rain. Flooding in all places. I mean, flooding in Tucson, Arizona. In South Asia, floods have displaced 100 people. In Indonesia, an earthquake, 6.9 on the Richter scale. Tajikistan had a mudslide that killed 9 people. And on the same date, July 23rd, had an earthquake in a central region that killed 3. And I could go on and on. The planet is literally heaving. Something is up. Don't know what it is. Don't know what's causing it. Don't know where it's headed. But something is up. There's too much activity, weird activity, in the climate. Too much in the geology, sorry, I'll get it said here in a minute. Too much upheaval in the geology. Too much stuff happening on good old planet Earth for us to just go about our business thinking that everything is normal. Now, we don't need to panic, because the fact is you can't stop an earthquake or a flood. There's not any way that you and I can stop it. But one of the things we do need to do is have our eyes open. One of the things we do need to do is realize that we may be facing, right where we live, an emergency, something we didn't expect. And what would you need if that happened? We'll be back.
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring 5 of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles, and free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
There wasn't much that I could do. I left the green grass in your shadow and watched it slowly fade. I remember you as a light of warm rain in the sky. And if you feel yourself fade into blue, wipe that tear from your eye. Let it fade to blue.
Back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about, well, it's an open line tonight, so we're talking about a lot of different things. But I mentioned all this stuff that's going on all over the world. I mean, look, in England, even in Kent, they had an earthquake back in April. It doesn't matter where you are. You're on this planet, and the planet is heaving. And I think it's fairly certain that we are in for some rough sledding. I think that is really pretty much beyond debate. Now, if you are in an area where rough sledding happens, an earthquake, a volcano, a flood, a tsunami, you're going to need certain things afterward, and one of them is communication. You're going to need to be able to hear news. If they're saying everyone needs to move to a certain area in order to get help, in order to get emergency supplies, you need to know that. And the reason I'm telling you this, and by the way, caller, if you just hang on, I'll get to you here in just a moment. The reason I'm telling you this is because I have personal experience with something called a Beijing radio. Now, I'm not about to try and sell you one, all right? But you know, I lived on an island, and I lived in the jungle, and we had no electricity. And yet, a very good friend of mine, whom I met there on that island, she's from the Netherlands. Her name is Indy van Binsbergen. She's from the Netherlands. She went there and helped those people to construct a community radio station because they need it for education. They need it for information.
And then she got people in the Netherlands to donate a whole bunch of those Beijian radios, and they have a crank on them. You crank them up, you wind them up, and then you can listen to the radio for like half an hour or something, and then you have to wind it up again. But you don't have to have batteries. I have seen the value of that firsthand, and we have the inventor of the Beijing radio coming on this week. Or, no, he's next week. His name is Trevor Bayless. And it might surprise you that it was the AIDS epidemic that prompted him to invent that radio. We'll talk more about that. But I thought about that in connection with the climate and the really big upheavals that are happening around the earth. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Kevin. It's Debbie again.
Yep.
I just wanted to make a comment. When you had Don Ware on last week,
mm-hmm.
and I asked him the question about aliens and if they had mentioned to him about 2012 and the predictions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to call it predictions, but the comments that he made.
All right.
I don't know. It kind of seems like it's coming to pass, do you think?
Specifically, what are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about rains where lots of places normally don't get flooded, increase in mudslides, increase in hurricanes, hurricane intensity, increase in tornadoes, tornadic intensity, increase in volcanic eruptions.
Yeah, I think really that's pretty obvious that that's happening, and I think it's going to continue to intensify both in the strength of these things and the frequency of their occurrence.
Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd just call in and add that bit, and I'm going to get off the horn and see if you can get one last call in.
All right, thanks for the call.
Bye.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not a gloom and doom prophet. I do think that the evidence is in, as far as what are we headed into here. And I think we are headed into a period of time where we're going to see an intensification of storms and intensification of volcanoes and earthquakes and this sort of thing. And also, I think they're going to be happening with more frequency. That looks like, in fact, there are some reports about that on Yahoo News in the science section this week. That looks like what the evidence is telling us. And I think it's important for all of us to be able to get news and information if a disaster strikes our area. And the way that you can do that is to have your hands on one of these radios that does not require batteries. It's called the Beijing, B-A-Y-G-E-N, Beijing radio. It was invented by Trevor Bayless, who is going to join us here on this broadcast. I invited him to talk with us because I've seen these radios work in the jungle where people had no electricity. I've seen these radios bring news and information and education to people living in the jungle. And I thought when I saw them, of course, it was restricted. Indy Van Binsbergen brought these in. And they were donated by people in the Netherlands, and they were to be given to people who live on that island in that area where she was working. And so it's not like you could say, oh, I want one of those, and get it. You couldn't do it, all right? And so I watched as the people got their radios, and they listen. You have AM, FM, shortwave. And they listen. They pay attention. They hear whenever their president speaks. They hear whenever there's a decision that comes from a court. They hear when there's a health worker that's talking with them about how to keep their children healthy and how to certain ways they need to go about cleaning their pots and pans and things like that. They hear that. And they live in grass huts. Not all of them, but a majority of them live in grass huts in villages scattered throughout the jungle. And I saw the impact those radios had on those people. And I thought to myself then, I thought, if there was a big disaster that struck any area of Earth, no matter how civilized that area is, the most important thing that people need is information. And they need radios. And they need radios that don't require batteries, because your batteries are going to run down. And if the disaster is big, if it's big, you may be for several weeks or maybe months without electricity. But if you have one of those radios, you still get news and information. Someone out there somewhere is broadcasting, and you're able to pick up AM, FM, and shortwave. So I was impressed by that. I was impressed by how important that is. I was impressed by how absolutely brilliant it is to have invented a radio that does not require any batteries at all. And when I checked into his story, I discovered it was because he invented it because of the AIDS epidemic, if you can believe that. The AIDS epidemic. And we're going to get him to tell us all about that and how the AIDS epidemic influenced him and caused him to invent that radio. Let me just recommend that you go get one. All right, now, folks, we are out of time. I wish we had more. I always enjoy our time together. Tomorrow night, we're going to be talking with a pretty highbrow mathematician. We're going to be talking about how he has discovered, if I understood this correctly, time is not a dimension. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow night, so long, everybody.